part why self-knowledge as a prerequisite for new anthropogenesis. Part 1, Chapter 1, The Coming New Man. Many readers will be familiar with various occult or ethnological speculations concerning the advent of a new human race on this earth and the nature and character of this race. Indeed, new human races have repeatedly emerged and disappeared over the course of millennia of years. Future dialectical manifestations will certainly prove no exception to this. There are regions on our planet which can quite rightly be termed melting pots of peoples. It is from such melting pots that new races emerge in time after undergoing much cleansing. When cosmic revolutions occur, whole continents disappear and many other catastrophes terminate the lives of countless people, there are always individuals who escape and in some cases are deliberately brought to safety in advance, and that is to say, they are transferred to safe regions. It is from such last remnants of dialectical mankind that new races are cultivated. They offer all who perished in a cosmic revolution an opportunity to reincarnate. No doubt you will have read fragmentary accounts of processes of repopulations of our globe after its cleansing. Myriad legends and myths deal with this. We need to recall the story of Noah who, after escaping the flood, finds solid ground on Mount Ararat and, along with his family, lays the foundation of another world populace. We find the tale of Noah, in one form or another, in the myths of nearly every people. Thus, the wheel of time revolves through years, centuries, and aeons. And Ecclesiastes rightly says, "Is there anything of which one can say, 'See, this is new?' It has already been in the ages before us." The same is true of the coming and going of human races. These are not essentially new in the literal sense, but are older races or mixtures of them which return. It is always the same things, facts, and people, which in the constant revolutions of dialectics measure up to current events. When we speak to you about the coming new man, you will immediately sense that we have no intention of informing you about a coming dialectical human race. As already stated, in its dialectical manifestation, every new race already existed in bygone ages, so it is folly to call them new. Even if they were new, such a racial manifestation would be meaningless to pupils of the modern spiritual school. For we strive after liberation from the endless peregrinations through time for the original life in the kingdom of God, which is not of this world. You should thus understand our elucidations of the coming new man in a new sense, for we refer neither to occult nor to ethnological science. We draw your attention to the fact that the pure, absolute, holy language too contains statements relating to a new human race, in a special sense. This new race is known by various names. Sometimes we read of the coming of the people of God, sometimes of the Una Sancta, a holy brotherhood, etc. You will know this, but it is necessary to understand it correctly to avoid all sorts of errors. There is a holy brotherhood, the universal brotherhood, the brotherhood of the original kingdom, but the above-mentioned allusions in the Bible do not generally apply to this brotherhood. No, our attention is drawn to the formation of an entirely new brotherhood, an entirely new Una Sancta. In order to obtain the right idea, let us consider the relevant problems from the point of view of time and space. We then see the dialectical world and mankind on one side, and the kingdom of God with its inhabitants on the other. Separating these two worlds is a gaping chasm, unbridgeable in time and space. Flesh and blood of the ordinary dialectical nature cannot cross this abyss. This is why, in the dialectical world order, everything rotates like a wheel, continually returning, incessantly repeating. We know that the brotherhood of the other kingdom continually struggles to redeem fallen and captive humanity. To this end, it undertakes labor whose aspects are the constant subject of the spiritual school's lectures and studies. Many people in this world react seriously and devotedly to the suggestions of the Universal Brotherhood. We do not know the exact number, but they certainly exist. We do not know in which countries they live or to which peoples and nations they belong, but it is almost certain that people who thus react are to be found in practically every country. Many of them exhibit characteristics and convictions similar to those found in our school. All these people from that immense variety of countries and nations will, at a certain moment in world history, be drawn from those countries and from all directions to form one community, a very special, exclusive race. It will not bear the characteristics of some region of this earth, but be lifted from the doom of the dialectical rotating wheel and achieve the miracle of leaping the unbridgeable abyss to the lost fatherland. It is to this new community in Genesis that the holy language refers. Since the moment for the formation of such a race has come in our time, it is our duty to draw your attention to the fact. We must establish how all this will be accomplished and study various aspects of this wonderful development. We firstly intend to approach this exceptional, wondrous manifestation and development of a totally new, non-dialectical type of man in this dialectical world from the mystical, philosophic angle. We shall then investigate how all this can be realized and which consequences we may ultimately expect. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul says with regard to the new race, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have passed away, that you may not grieve as others do who do not understand these things. For since we know that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have passed away in Jesus. For this we declare to you, we who are alive, who are left in the material sphere, until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have passed away. The Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left in the material sphere, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." These mystical transfigurist words, preached to death, so to speak, by ages of natural religious practice and misused by countless people as if they were private property, contain the complete Genesis scheme of the new ecclesia. In the first place, they show that Paul, too, does not regard the regions of life in and of the reflection sphere to be the heavenly domain. For those who have come into real communion with the hierarchy of Christ, this is completely in accordance with transfigurist philosophy. The reflection sphere and the material sphere of dialectics are but temporary domiciles. Therefore, everybody who has entered the process of new Genesis in the real transfigurist sense, even if only in the elementary stages, should banish any shred of sorrow or feeling of loneliness. Such modes of behavior, considered quite normal for ordinary natural man, are a profound delusion for those liberated in the light of Christ. Of course, every process has a starting point. When you reach the point where you clearly see how much the process of sanctification physically affects the entire human microcosm, and to what extent this process biologically and structurally is established in every fiber of our being, you will be in no doubt that the very start of this process must already be liberation. Awareness of separation, experiencing standing alone, is quite normal in ordinary nature, but in the light of renewal it is highly abnormal. When we know this, we likewise understand that as soon as the connection to absolute freedom has been attained, it does not matter on which side of the veil of death we live and exist. Whoever leave the material sphere without this connection will have to return to incarnation, but whoever does possess this binding have nothing further to fear. The wheel of dialectics can no longer drag him back, and no influence of the reflection sphere can deceive him. Though we have to date not spoken much about this, you should be aware that the spiritual school, equipped with many gifts of grace, is also active behind the veil of death, and there, too, takes care of its pupils. A great many difficulties encountered here do not exist there, because the situations and conditions in which the school works on the other side are totally different. There, in undisturbed peace, the pupils can continue the process they began in the material sphere. We shall certainly soon meet again after leaving our present sphere. It is necessary to know these facts and consequently show no trace of sorrow at the death of one of our friends, as do others who understand nothing of these things. On the contrary, we should be very happy when we see one of our serious fellow pupils pass the threshold of death earlier than we do. They are called those deceased according to nature. Somebody who is deceased according to nature is not merely a man who has discarded his material body, but who is already removed from every dialectical natural effect and influence. Such a person, on leaving the material sphere, is led to a region which, in essence and vibration, lies beyond the reflection sphere. This is what the expression deceased in Christ means. But note, deceased according to nature does not yet mean raised from the dead. The resurrection comes only at the end of the process in which the deceased in Christ finds himself. We must state here that the state of being deceased according to nature can also be attained while still living in the material sphere. It is the state of total eye dissolution. The advantage of being deceased as opposed to the eye dissolution in the material sphere is clear. For the deceased in Christ is free of his material body with its etheric double and can calmly continue building on the principles of renewal he has received, while the eye-detached person in the material sphere must constantly acknowledge the presence and demands of a material organism belonging to the nature of death. It is also clear that in the process of renewal, the deceased will precede the pupils still in the material sphere, as Paul says, because they are able to complete this process more rapidly. We intended in this chapter to acquaint you with the fact that, in the midst of ordinary mankind, a new people from all countries and nations of the earth will emerge, a people of God, a countless multitude. This people, manifesting itself in and proceeding from the material sphere, has nothing further to fear of death. On the contrary, death is an advantage for it. This people is prepared for a very special voyage, indicated by Paul as meeting the Lord in the air. This is a universal expression referring to a second and further process pertaining to a progressive change from new soul being to spirit being. It is the voyage to the original, immovable kingdom. You know, of course, that mankind as a whole, too, is subject to rotation, beginning at the dawn of another period of dialectical manifestation, ending in a cosmic revolution, repeating the path again and again. Near the close of a cosmic day, the situations and vibration conditions become such that no further beings can be saved and liberated until a new day of manifestation has dawned. Once the last person receptive to such a possibility has entered the process of liberation, the last trumpet sounds. This means that all those who have been liberated are really taken from this dialectical field of life with both its spheres and begin a glorious homeward journey. The new brotherhood, the new Una Sancta, has then been formed. It goes out to meet the Lord in the air. It is the group freed of bondage from this earth. Its members were firstly ignited by the Spirit of God while they were still seekers, secondly, they passed away in Christ, and finally, they have been taken up in the process of rebirth to become sons of God by the Holy Universal Spirit.